food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here, just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network, Jethro FM, and all over mid-Michigan and wherever you're listening. We appreciate you tuning in. Little snap in the air this week. I think we're getting a break on the weekend here. Get a little, what do they call it, Indian summer. Is that politically correct? Can you use that term anymore?
I think people do.
Yeah. So, but anyway, enjoy the weekend because it's going to get cold again. It always does this time of year. But I'm Jop. That was Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, man. It is a beautiful, beautiful Michigan fall. Is it officially fall? I guess so. We're in October. Gee whiz.
Yeah.
But it's, I think we've said a number of times, my favorite time of the year, and the least favorite time of the year is right after it. So I guess it's right. Kind of a slap in the face.
Right. Yeah. So, but you know, the winter time, we've already planned a vacation in February. I know you said you're going to head south for a while to get into the warmer weather. So, but right now, the place to be is in the woods in Michigan.
It is.
We're outside doing something.
It is so beautiful.
Our colors are just ripping right now. And if you're up north listening, maybe yours are a little bit past peak. But I think down here, we're just getting into it.
I think this weekend is going to be the best color show of the year for Michigan.
Yeah. Yep.
If you want to get out. Now's your time.
Well, and it's going to be bumping 70 where we are at, so that doesn't happen in late October at all, generally. But cool that it is. But so what'd you do this week, Bob? Anything good?
Well, I have a bit of a horror tale from deer camp. Not really a horror tale. I went up with my brother-in-law, of course, bow hunting, and he's 8 years older than me and been a lifelong plumber. So his knees are shot and he doesn't walk through the woods with a skip that I do. So I try and compensate on, you know, as much as I can, but he really mans up and tries splitting wood and doing all these things. Cause you know, nobody wants to admit that they're getting broken down. Right. But, the cold bothers him a lot. Oh, yeah. And, in my, effort to try and put up a permanent frame for this expedition tent, I kind of extrapolated the numbers from the bent-up frame that I inherited last December and came up with what would be center posts to hold this monster up. And I went up with my bride
a big canvas tent,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I went up with my bride a couple weeks ago, with some 4x4s and concrete and some pipe, and I put two big posts up and a pipe. Well, it was just about perfect. The sides are not bad, but one end is 10 inches off the ground and the other end is about 3 inches off the ground. And if you remember the kind of wind we had like Monday and Tuesday,
yeah,
it sucks the heat right out of that. We got a wood stove going,
yep,
nice and toasty until
the wind blows. Huh?
So we've got a cure for it. We're going to go up and jack it up on site and take a battery powered sawzall and gnaw them down just a little bit and get that baby down on the ground so we can button it up.
Yeah, there's no floor in this tent, right? This is an old canvas tent, and not old, but I mean, it's a canvas tent with no floor. So you got to kind of, you don't want it laying on the ground so it freezes to the ground.
Well, we're going to have it. I've got it measured out so that I'll have about 2 inches on the ground because I don't care if it freezes on the ground. That's easy to pop up. What I don't want is the wind getting under it like it did.
Yeah.
Because that is...
it'll blow your tent full of leaves and all kinds of crap.
That cold air blows in and that hot air just blows out. It blows out the other side. You can't pin it down.
Yeah.
So, it's going to be good. But, oh my goodness, the deer were plentiful. We had lots of them. Fortunately, I put him in the honey hole because he spent 30 years hunting in the UP and he didn't see a lot of deer.
Yeah.
So last year, an 8-point wandered into him, to his surprise.
Yeah.
And he took that, and we had sausage at camp. This year, couple weeks ago, I was up there hunting, and I saw this beautiful 8 or 10-point, maybe a 3.5-year-old, just unique-looking rack. And that guy and a couple other bucks hung out in front of him just out of range for an hour.
Yeah.
So he at least had a great show.
Yep.
And, you know, if you just tuned in, you're listening to the Grilling Guys on the GrillingGuys.com, Grilling Guys Talk Network. Go to our Facebook page / The Grilling Guys. Give us a like. And you can check me out on Twitter, although I rarely post. It's Grilling Guy.
Where they ought to check us out at is Grilling Guys To Go on Facebook.
Grilling Guys Takeout. Yes, right. Yes. And you did take out. You were in this week, and you took out 200 pounds of brisket. How'd that go?
Well, it was a lot of work, and hats off to you, because I had some business conflicts that I couldn't get out of. And
Sounds like a dinner meeting, Conrad. What do you think?
Yeah,
business conflict. I'm sensing the Chop House or Leo's or something.
Right,
like
right.
That.
Yeah. But anyway, so Wednesday, this gig was on Thursday. So Wednesday night, Bob put that 200 pounds of brisket that we got from Sobey Meats. It was beautiful, but any brisket that you buy from any butcher anywhere is going to need trimming.
Right now in particular.
Right. And the way they're coming into the marketplace, and these are the whole packer briskets. These aren't just the flat. And Bob trimmed them up. They were beautiful. And they were on the smoker probably about 14 hours, the best I can guess. And
two smokers, actually.
Right,
took both of them.
Right. And it was wonderful. And so we sliced those all up. And then this is where we stumbled a little bit, and this because I got involved with the smoker and not Bob, is that after we got the briskets off, we had some skinless, boneless chicken thighs, and I needed to put those on there, and there was 80 pounds of those, because I was feeding 200 construction guys at the Home Builders Association, was having a clay shoot, and we went down there and brought them dinner. But anyway, the smoker, we have this good one, it's four racks, it holds a ton of food. And I filled it all up with chicken thighs. And what I did is that Bob's like, well, you ought to probably put some more charcoal in there. And I put like a 7-pound bag of charcoal on the existing fire. And I probably should have put two of them on it, right, just to get her ripping, because I just put 80 pounds of cold chicken on the smoker, right? So it was just a dumb move. We were hurrying, trying to get stuff done.
Well, that's a lot of guys to feed.
Right.
You had a cool menu. You had help from your buddy, John Hahn from Hahn Bakery in Greenville.
Right.
Made some wonderful, Conrad, you'd love this. My gosh. It was these giant Italian loaves of bread.
Ooh,
and he makes his own garlic butter with Parmesan and everything. And he threw those in the oven quickly in my big double ovens and baked them up, wrapped them in. Oh, my gosh, they were so good.
Yeah, it was good. So anyway, what happened was with the smoker so full and me under-fueling it is that we got about 2/3 of the chicken done on time, and everything that was out by the door of the smoker wasn't hot enough yet. So then we had to drop what we're doing, and what can we do? We want to get the chicken there. So Bob starts breading it and deep frying it to bring it up to temperature. And then we'd take it
out.
The
last 20 pounds, maybe.
Yeah, right. And then we'd put it in the oven to keep it warm, and it was a lot of jerking around.
Chicken jerky.
Right, but we got her done, and they ate it, and they loved it. And
they cleaned up. They licked the dishes,
right,
as I recall.
Yeah.
I didn't even have to wash them.
Right, yeah.
I just put them back in the rack.
But it's it was a big ordeal, but thank you, if there's any builders out there, to the Home Builders Association of Greater Grand Rapids, because it's a great group of guys, and we had a lot of fun.
How'd the shoot go?
I guess, you know what? A young team, I had some friends that own a company called True Media, and they brought all their kids, and I say their kids, they're late teenagers, early 20s guys that wire houses and stuff, right?
Nice.
They won the whole shoot.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, those four young guys.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was cool to, you know, see the next generation, and because that's what you want in the construction business. There's a lot of old guys, and there's
you want some shooters.
Right, yeah. So it was cool all around, just a good event, and I appreciate, you know, we appreciate the business, and it was also just a great group. And I did a couple charity barbecues, and they bit them up nice. So everybody won.
So you'll be back to the kitchen is what you're saying.
Right, yeah. Right. Well, yeah, there were barbecues for 40, but the generosity in that room was big, and they ended up buying them each for $1,500. So
that's nice.
We raised $3,000 for their foundation. So good stuff.
Nice.
Really good stuff. But anyway, coming up next, there's a bounty of game in the field, and we're going to try to tackle how to cook some of it.
Well, and I wanted to add this in that this time of year, having never done a takeout restaurant, I see the market tapering down, and I'm thinking I might do the ice cream stand routine and just close for the winter.
Yeah, there you go. All right, coming up next, we're going to do some wild game recipes. Stick with us. We'll be back.